Blog Talk Radio.
Convictions to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
Everybody, thank you for tuning in. It's been a long, long time since Bozilla and Ms. Dollface have been on the speakers. I want to thank you for tuning in to Bozilla Blog Talk Radio. What's going on? What's going on? I want to bring in a man right now. Hopefully he's on the phone. If he's in here, please introduce yourself and let everybody know who you are. I want to thank you guys. I want you to listen to his story. He's got the whole floor today. I'll call it in every so often, but I want you all to hear what he's going through in this story. If you're in there, my friend, please let us know who you are.
Lewis, are you in with us?
Lewis, are you there, my friend?
Well,
okay.
I don't have him yet.
Okay.
Got a
205. Okay, well,
I think that's our friend from Alabama.
Okay. Yeah, that is our friend from Alabama. I want to say what's up to her. I want to tell everybody what's going on. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Like I said, sometimes when people are behind them walls, they can't come on because of, you know, our friends who are there to uphold the walls. But, you know, I'm not going to say nothing bad about that right now. But first thing I want to say is before he comes on, if he does come on, I will rattle a little bit more. And I want to thank everybody once again. I know it's been a long time since we've been on, and a lot of things have happened. We've all been knowing about this virus. We all know about the cases that have been going on in this country with police brutality versus George Floyd. You know, there's so much stuff that's going on. And Bozo has been part of it a lot. Me and Daniel have been protesting. And even her son has been protesting, Mr. Griffin himself. He's been down there protesting also. Like I said, these things right now, if things are finally coming to a head, this country is finally beginning to see what the negative activity of this world is having on my brothers right here, my brothers behind the walls, my brothers in the streets, my sisters in the streets, my men and women that are there working 9 to 5 and they're still getting harassed by the police and all this type of stuff. You know, my thing is this. If you want to be a police officer, that's your choice. But be a police officer that's going to uphold the law the right way. Don't uphold the law because you're in behind that blue line. And I know I get a lot of bad talk about things like that. People always want to say that I'm one type of way. Because remember, I was an ex-correction officer, but also I am an ex-person who was behind the wall. So I've seen both sides of the law. I'm not saying that everybody, every cop and every CO are bad. Trust me, they're not. I'm not saying that. But the ones that are bad are the ones who make it rough for everybody, especially for the ones who they beat or kill. And know what I say kill, because we all know that's what happens. And I don't want to drop on that because this story of this young man is going to be coming on here, hopefully, if he can get out to talk to us. But like I said, if he does it, I'll continue to rattle on. And we will talk more about it. We'll have some more. We have another show tomorrow coming on. Another young man who's behind the walls also. And I'm not going to say his name, but you guys see my profile. You've seen his name. So that's who's going to be on the show tomorrow, same time, same bat channel. Like I said, I'm trying to get people to hear their stories because there are some stories out there that, hell, we all have bad stories. Everybody has stories. Hell, I've had a story. That's why my book got written, because I had to put my story out there. So if you guys don't know, I have wrote my book. My book is on the shelves. You guys can, it's on my web, on my Facebook page. You guys friends with me on Facebook, look it up. Stephen Bobo, S-T-E-V-E-N-B-O-B-O. Conviction to Redemption is the name of the book. It's the story of my life. I'm not going to plug my book, but people know who I am, and that's my book. And until our friend comes on, I will continue to rattle on some things. But I want you guys to understand, if you guys are on here, if you guys want to come in, if we can get you in, let us know you want to come in. Right now, the problems I'm having with the system, as far as the system that's going on in this world, as far as us, as minorities, black, oriental, Latino, it doesn't matter, because we all having problems. You know, right now, the Asians are having their problems now with people beating them up and stuff like that. But you know what? I don't want to talk too much about that. Me and Danielle talked about this morning. And it was to a point where I said the same thing. I'm sorry that that is happening to them, but God damn, it's been happening to us as black people for years. Until we start getting killed, until we start taking a knee on our platform in the NFL, Mr. Kaepernick, thank you for that. Now people want to listen. But how long has this been going on that we all been saying this has happened? How many young black men, women have been killed by the police, been killed by whatever, and you still did not want to listen? Now that we have finally made a scratch, it had to take a man's life. Mr. George Floyd, he had to take his life to get this out there that's been going on since Rodney King. Oh, yeah, y'all don't want to talk about that. Rodney King, it was starting then. You remember, they tore up Los Angeles because of that. But see, y'all don't understand. This has been going on for years. Years. Black men and black women, black children have been victimized by the system. And the thing is that you don't understand. You don't want to understand. We understand because we have no choice but to understand, because this is what we see every day. If it's not the COVID, it's police brutality. It's Black Lives Matter. It's black on black crime. Let's talk about that for 1 second. And me and Danielle have always said, if you guys have seen me say this on Facebook, I'll say it again for the cheap seats. Black lives won't matter until we matter to each other. And I'm saying that is until we pull the trigger and we're killing each other. How people can take us seriously when we kill each other? Columbus, Ohio, as of right now. Daniel, if you hear me, chime in real quick if you can until somebody comes in too. Do you know what the murder rate right now is per capita here in Columbus, Ohio as of right now?
Oh, my goodness. Right now we are sitting at, I want to say we're at about 150 right now.
No, that's probably not 150 homicides already this year for right now.
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying, guys, see, in Daniel's, you know, if that is the correct number, I pray it's not the correct number, but if that's the correct number, I want you to understand.
I'll research it.
Okay, my brothers and sisters, you might hear my voice right now here in Columbus, Ohio. Stop shooting each other. Stop it. We're tired of hearing mothers crying. We're tired of hearing our kids crying when their dads are dead in the street.
I think our friend Mr. Stapleton is in.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Sir, how you doing? What's going on, my friend? Go ahead. You got the floor, man. I try to keep you warmed up until you get here. So let's go ahead. Introduce yourself to everybody.
Hi, my name is Lewis, and I'm a juvenile lifer. I've been in for 27 years. Hold on one second. Excuse me. I got to make it where you all can hear me and,
yeah.
and not too get that.
Yeah.
Get that. Take that off.
I got you covered off.
Come on. Matter of fact, we're going to go out the door so I can get the reception.
Go ahead. You there, sir?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah,
okay.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Yeah, my name is Lewis, and I'm a juvenile life I've been in for 27 years. Man, I tell you, this is a rough life to live. It's a rough life to live because, first of all, being in here for 27 years, so much has passed me by, you know, and I'm not given an equal opportunity to redeem myself as a so-called violent offender, you know. I think the court system does a terrible job when it comes down to convictions. It's rough. Yeah, so I'm not gonna hold a show up. I just, you know, I appreciate you having me on.
You,
that's no problem, man.
Sir, you are welcome to speak your mind. This is a safe forum. You're in a safe forum, and you can tell us what you've seen as far as changes, as far as the amount of juveniles you've seen coming through, juvenile Ooh. Lifers like yourself. Just tell us your experience.
Well, being a juvenile lifer, you know, being in here since I was 18, I caught my case when I was 17. Is boy, they told us when we first came, when I first came to prison, to get your GED, get a trade,
mm-hmm.
you know. I done got
yeah.
all that. I done all that. I got a brick mason trade. I got many multiple self-help programs, crime bill, SAP, anger management, self-awareness, you name it. You get them, but still getting out of prison here in the state of Alabama is not good. It is. That is not good. That don't help. That don't help the situation. Then we don't see our parole here. You know, we don't go to our own parole here. We don't do none of that stuff. We just sit in here like sitting ducks for real. With
so
Alabama being one
of the... They have the warehouse.
Of course. And in the state of Alabama, this is the worst prison system in the country. They want you to be a model inmate living in an environment that's ratchet, as people will understand those words.
Wow.
It's ratchet, you know. It's not right. It's not set up right. It should be, the prison system should be in Alabama designed like this. I committed a crime. I go to prison. I do my time. I should get out and redeem myself as an individual, as a human being. A little dog died in the hands
wow.
of the correction officers, you know, in the state of Alabama. You know, the
I'm
dog
back in.
Team, they're on the dog team. They're on the dog team, and they doing a drug raid, and the dog sniffed something and died. They gave the dog a 21-gun salute, spent $2,000 on his burial. You know, things of this and that. This stuff is backwards. This is they cherish a dog life more than they cherish human lives, and that's just that's not American. That's not, you know, what we call the land of the free. Now this stuff is ridiculous, and the prison system is terrible. I'm telling you, and I hate to keep iterating that, but that's what it is. It's the worst of the worst.
It is.
It's the worst Alabama has the worst prison system in suicide, homicide, police brutality, inmate on inmate brutality. You know, it doesn't help you rehabilitate. Nothing about their system saves rehabilitate. And if you ask me, that's just a part of their mass incarceration, because that's what we're a part of. And it don't get
that's
no
great.
Better. It does not get no better. Every day we fighting to get it just to stay alive in the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that a basically a dog's life is valued more than a human being, and that's what Mr. B and I have been saying all the time, is that, you know, okay, everybody done their dirt, but these are still human, you know, you guys are still human beings, and you guys are still human beings with souls and potential.
Daniel, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir.
Okay. I'm sorry, but my phone is faded down. But you guys are doing great. Lewis, man, I want to thank you for coming on, man. And what you're saying is what people need to hear, because this has to change, because you've been in a long time, man. You've been in a long time. I never asked nobody what their case was, because that's your business and the people you love business. That's not my business.
Right.
That's nobody else's business. Unless you want to come out and tell people what you did, that's your choice. That's your choice. Like I said,
well,
I never, ever ask people what they've done. But I want to say,
you know,
is, man.
I'm not cutting you off, but yeah, I was I'm a juvenile life, and I did catch a murder case. I caught a murder case because of a situation that I really had no control over, being that I was 17 years of age. You know, the court system really took. I'm really the victim. I'm really the victim. It's very rarely that you hear people say, well, they're a victim and they're in prison. Well, I'm the victim. I was the victim. I was the one being shot at. I was the one being chased. I was the one being harassed. But you take me after after all this was done upon me, then I did what I did because I feared for my life. Being 17 years of age, the guy being 20, I'm not going to call his name, but the guy being 20 and two others being 19 and 18. I was a child. I did and I thought just as if a child would do at 17 years of age. You know,
and
I'm not saying I'm perfect.
Sir.
If you can find me somebody that's perfect, then I'll show you a black unicorn. And that's not going to happen.
No, you're
that's
exactly
not
right.
Going to happen.
Like we said before, we said so because what we and Danielle and Chrissy Wilson and all of us on the In the School of the Prison Pipeline, we talk about that. And Danielle will tell you, what's the age of a child whose head, what do we say their age is?
It is scientifically proven that a human being does not reach full mental maturity until age 25, which means that at 17, fearing for your life, you basically went from 0 to 60.
Right.
That's
right. I did.
And it people don't want to look at that. They look at just another violent black person.
That's right.
Instead, but then if a white child does the same thing, and I hate to make this a race thing, but it is what it is. If a white child does this, then, oh, they were troubled. Oh, they were bullied. Oh, this, oh, that. You know, all this happened. But, you know, the brain is the same. If you peel back the skulls of a black child and a white child, guess what? The brain is the same color.
That's right.
And if it's not developed until it's 25, guess what? It still ain't going to be developed. They could be from New York City, Alabama, Kathmandu. They could be from Tonga. It still ain't going to be developed till it's 25 years old.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right.
That's right.
So when we break down, not cutting you off, when we break down the bullying, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, what is bullying? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Bullying is no more than harassment. See?
Yep.
That's all it is. You harassing me, man. Not only was I harassed, I was harassed with a deadly weapon that was used to me, for me, and against me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't shooting at these people. I wasn't bothering these people. I was going to school every day, 11th grade, getting ready to play sport. When the crime happened, I was in spring training there for football season for my senior year for the next year. I never made it. As a matter of fact, my case transpired 2 hours before my 18th birthday. So by right, by law, I was 17 years of age,
mm-hmm.
and I never seen the age of 18, not one day on the street, not one day. I'm 45 now. See,
jeez.
Like that.
And
in the state of
that's
Alabama,
that's that down south thing. Yep, that's here in Alabama. I hear about it all the time.
I was just gonna say, Alabama is one of those states. They are hateful, revengeful. See, enough is never enough for them. If you done did something in the state of Alabama, be honest with you, you couldn't been did nothing in the state of Alabama. We just watched, what's his name? Mr. Hinton.
Mm-hmm.
We just watched him do 30 years on death row for a case he didn't even do. I was on death row now. See what I'm saying? So we know the state of Alabama will punish you for something you ain't even done. Probably more frequently and fluently than any other state in the United States.
Yes, mm-hmm. I've heard that, man. I've heard that. I remember when all the prisoners of the different prisons were doing flooding and stuff like that. All that stuff was going on down there. They weren't doing anything but these people that were in jail getting flooded. And when the COVID came, it was just like a box. It was even in the box with COVID. You know, and that's just in that. I don't even want to talk about that because what you're saying right now proves what's going on. You're on the inside, so you've seen it more than what we see. Like I said, I was on the inside here in Ohio, and Ohio was something else. But I hear the stories that go on in Alabama. I hear the stories that go on in Florida. I hear all the stories going on all around this country. And I look at Ohio, I'm like, y'all need to quit. Because Alabama, I heard about your stuff. People told me. And I've read, and it's all in the books, the school books that I go to school now. And there's statistics about how Alabama is really, really bad for the stuff that's going through. Like you said, juveniles going to prison never makes any sense. But go ahead, sir. Keep on going. You got it. Keep on going.
And then you're from the state where the young lady, is her name Emma Patterson? That's her name? The one that came to prison when she was 16? And they gave her clemency and finally let out. Right. See, I'm supposed to be just like her. Right. Because I was put in a situation that really anybody would have reacted the way I did. You know what I'm saying?
I did bring
my problem to the people that were supposed to protect me, the parent, the police, the principal. See, I did all this stuff, and I still was hammered with two life sentences and 20 years running wild at 17 years old. That's absurd.
That's crazy. You're right. And that's what people don't understand. You know, you're telling the truth. What a lot of juveniles that go into prison, this is what they see. And we talk about this all the time. There is no way that a man, if he gets out now, you're 17, you're 47 years old now, you think about how much time has changed and what has changed from the time you was a juvenile, was inside the, before you got inside the walls, now you get out. Now that's another culture shock, because you're not going to know what's going to, what happens now, because things have changed so much. And they're not going to teach you inside the system because they don't want you to know. And that's the thing that I want to fight, because it's so wrong to put people that age inside the penitentiary, but you don't want to teach and learn them anything to get better. And you one thing you want to do is just slam them and make them work. Free slavery. It's free slavery.
That's
it goes right.
right
back to the 13th Amendment. That's what it is, a free
That's right.
slave.
That's right.
It's
legal slavery.
Legal slavery, and nobody wants to see it.
I try to show that. I try to show that a lot. I try to show the 13th Amendment to the guy that's in this prison. I mean, it's psychological disease. We as a race of people, and I hate to bring country once again, but we are systematically destroyed mentally, man. We are terrible. We are terrible
as
people. We need to. We could do that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I made this is not the first mistake I've made in my life, but this is the first mistake I had in my life to come to prison to and never get out. So you telling me you just took a child? I feel just like the kids of DACA over there, in the one they took from their parents and just put them in them private prisons. The one they tell my let go of, you know, I feel just like them. Right, because you took me out of my mom's home. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I shouldn't have never come to prison. No. I'm saying I took a life. I understand that. I get that part. I get that. I understand. I'm sorry for that. I hate that happened. But that's the way it happened, because that's the way it was brought to me. You know what I'm saying?
There we go.
Like that.
That's it. I hear what you're saying.
I'm not glorifying the bad stuff that I've done. No, because that's like I took a life. Yeah, I get that. But what about when he was shooting at me? What about when he had me in a bad situation? What about when he walked down on me with my head down, and when I looked up, I looked in the barrel of the pistol? What about that? Oh, you don't want to talk about that. That's the stuff that they don't want to talk about. See, that's where the problem is. That's where the problem comes in. They'll talk about everything, but what they should be talking about. The DOJ told Alabama that they need to alleviate their overcrowding, because when they did their 200-page scathing report and found out all the stuff that they found out, it was unbelievable. You know what I'm saying? See, they don't want them with the cell phone. They don't want them with the cell phone because it exposes what they're doing. See?
Exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
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 Right.
Can I give you 2-minute warning?
Okay.
2 minutes. All right.
But thank y'all for letting me have.
Oh, man. Like I said, we'll do it again, man. Like I said, we'll do it
anytime
again.
Anytime you want to talk anymore, you let us know.
Let us know. I'll put you right back on, man. I have no problem with that, man. If you have anybody who's there with you and they want to come on and say something, more than welcome to.
I probably do have a lot of other guys that probably want to, you know, become a part of this.
No problem, man. I know it's always open, and that's why we do it. That's why we do it, for people to hear your story. You need to hear your story because, you know, first of all, this is my main question. Did you have a public pretender as a lawyer?
Have I?
Did you have paid? When you was going through your court case, did you have a public pretender, or did you have a paid attorney?
I had a paid attorney.
Oh, okay. Paid attorney. All right.
I had a paid attorney that didn't do right. He just wanted the money.
There you go. I had the same way, man. But I know.
We don't know this. We don't know. We can't really see this stuff until it all unfolds. See what I'm saying?
And you were a child. You weren't supposed to know.
They
you weren't supposed
me 20
to know.
Years.
That's right.
For me, 20 years, I turned that down. But when I went to court and I got found guilty, they knocked my head off. But thank y'all for having me get on. And I appreciate it. And yeah, I probably will come back again. And without a shadow of a doubt.
No problem.
Back.
All right, sir.
All right, man. Welcome to the Kelp, bro. We're right here for you, man. Anytime.
Okay, then.
Be safe, bro.
Appreciate
Keep your heads up, my brother. No problem.
Yes,
I'll talk to
you,
my brother.
Y'all have a nice day.
You too.
Blessings.
All right. Go ahead and take us out, Danny.
All righty. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Just, you know, want to let you know that these are more than prisoners. These are people. And
these are
whatever
people,
they've done.
That's right.
Does not shadow the fact that they are human beings in need of respect and still always deserving of dignity. Thank you again.
17 years coming into prison. That make no sense, man. I hope the world heard that. 17 years. This man, 40-some years old now, and his life is like, it stopped. So, all right, y'all. I want to say thank you for tuning in. Tomorrow afternoon, we have the same thing. Another person coming in. We're going to talk another day. 6:30 tomorrow, man. I want everybody to tune in. Thank you for showing the love. Bozilla loves you all. Keep your head up. Stay safe. Watch that COVID. Be careful. Much love. Bozilla out.